Lynyrd Skynyrd's Sweet Home Alabama cracked the top 10 list back in 1974. Sweet Home Alabama, where the skies are blue. Since then, this song has become kind of an anthem for the state, but its history and meaning are really complicated. For our series American Anthem, NPR's Felix Contreras gives Sweet Home Alabama another listen.
The song starts out with one of the best-known guitar riffs in rock and roll. What follows is a down-home ode to the state that is known as the Heart of Dixie. Folksy colloquialisms, eternal blue skies, family, pretty simple, right? Maybe not. In a way, the song began as a contradiction. It was written by two guys from Florida and one from California, none of whom ever lived in Alabama. So where did the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd get the gumption to write about a state they had only driven through? In part, because of this. Southern man, better keep your That's Neil Young singing Southern Man, a song he released in 1971, taking the entire South to task for the bloody history of slavery and its aftermath. In the Showtime documentary, If I Leave Here Tomorrow, one of the song's composers, lead vocalist Ronnie Van Zant, explained the musicians wanted to counter what they saw as Young's one-dimensional stereotype.
We knew that by doing that song, writing those lyrics, we knew in the beginning that we'd get a lot of heat from it, you know? And yeah, I did attack Neil Young in that song. What are you talking about, you know? And what I'm told, you was born in Canada, you know?
Even as the song tried to dispel stereotypes of the South, back then the band performed in front of a large Confederate flag at the suggestion of its record label. And in the documentary, Van Zant offers this.
Everybody thinks we're a bunch of drunken rednecks.
That's correct.
So which is it? Mark Kemp is originally from Asheboro, North Carolina, and is the author of a book called Dixie Lullaby, a story of music, race, and new beginnings in the New South, a memoir about his relationship with rock and roll from the South.
You know, at the root of it is a very, very human dilemma of bigotry, you know, and stereotyping. And the South is, for our country, it embodies that. And I don't think it's ever going to go away. That discussion's an integral part of our nation's history.
Neil Young took his lumps and finally, in his 2012 autobiography, stated that he deserved that musical jab, writing, quote, "I didn't like my words when I wrote them. They were accusatory and condescending." And yet, maybe Young wasn't completely off base. Sweet Home Alabama does name check one of the state's most controversial leaders, George Wallace, who was governor when the song was released. In 1963, when he was elected to his first term, he famously said this.
And I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
Sweet Home Alabama was co-written by guitarist Gary Rossington, and in the Showtime documentary, he explained that reference.
And a lot of people believed in segregation, although all that. We didn't. We put the boo, boo, boo there, so it was saying we don't like Wallace.
But he also added that the song could be interpreted in different ways.
I'm sure if you ask the other guys who are not with us anymore up in rock and roll heaven, they have their story of how it came about.
Any more clarity about Sweet Home Alabama died in a plane crash. In 1977, just 3 years after the song hit the airwaves, three members of the band, their road manager, as well as a pilot and co-pilot, died when their chartered plane went down. Ronnie Van Zant was among the dead, and he remains the ghost in the room when trying to pin down exactly what he wanted the song to say. The song's meaning was crystal clear to Mary Clayton. She was an in-demand background vocalist who famously recorded with the Rolling Stones, Joe Cocker, Ray Charles, among a bunch of others. And she remembers her reaction when she got the call to do the Sweet Home Alabama session.
I really don't want to sing anything about Alabama after what happened in Alabama.
Clayton is African American and says she could not stop thinking about the infamous 1963 Ku Klux Klan bombing of a church in Birmingham.
I said, four little girls lost their lives, and it just broke everyone's heart. I said, I really don't want to sing anything about Alabama, and I just went on and on and on.
But your way of combating that is that I'm going to sing on this record, lay claim to it, that I am part of this song, and our experience is part of the Alabama experience as well.
Absolutely. You got it. You got it.
Some insist that Southern pride, absent the racism, is what Sweet Home Alabama is all about. At a concert featuring the reconstituted Lynyrd Skynyrd in Kansas City, fan Nick Paul was tailgating outside before the show.
It honestly is an American anthem. It really is. I mean, I feel like that personifies a lot of America. And I mean, I don't think you can go to a party and play that song without everybody singing along.
It is a catchy tune. And Dr. Henry Pannion III also thinks so. He's a composer and professor of music at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, who recently arranged the song for marching band and symphony orchestra. Pannion is also African-American.
What they were trying to do when they wrote it was trying to say, wait a minute, everybody's talking about the South, but there are some wonderful things about the South. And everyone don't necessarily subscribe to the policies and the practices of bigots and racists.
For some, the passage of time has muted the song's ambiguity. And Pannion says maybe he would go one step further to reclaim Sweet Home Alabama as an anthem for all Alabamans.
Maybe I should program that song in February during a Black History Month celebration. And then maybe we could begin to change how it's being used. How about that?
You have to wonder what Ronnie Van Zant would have thought of that. Felix Contreras, NPR News.